Thank you, Matt and Hannah. Come to us from way out there in Louisiana. Vidalia, I think it is. Never been there, but seems like they have good people there. When we started our church in New York, we had 15 teenagers that came with us. I was 24 years old. Went into the heart of New York City in a place called College Point, which is at an outskirt of Flushing, which is pretty famous now, but back then no one knew it. And so we were looking for a place to meet, and we finally found this little tiny church. And it was a community made up of Italian immigrants and German immigrants. So here I'm a perfect pastor for them, right? So when we went there, asked them we could use this place, and they had about maybe, oh, I don't know, about 20, 25 elderly folks. The youth group was about 65 years old. So, yeah, really. So, yeah, they said, will you pastor us too? Because we don't have a pastor. So I thought, okay, why not? Let's give it a shot. So I began to minister there. And back in those days, you know, we didn't have this internet stuff, cell phone stuff. What we did was we visited people. Pastors methodically visited. I love visiting people. And so every week I would visit these folks, these old people. And there would be these little German ladies and Italian ladies, you know, and they would cook for me and bake for me these cakes. In fact, Mrs. Salento and Gina, her sister, she was blind, but I would come and they would cook this, bake this lemon cake. I mean, it's to die for. So I gained about 25 pounds, you know, during the first year, going there, methodically visiting with them, having tea with them. One of the things that was interesting was, as I was getting to know them, I was beginning to realize, uh-oh, these are people that have gone to church all their lives. And it's in an evangelical denomination as well. But a lot of them, I discovered, really didn't know Jesus Christ. One lady, in fact, she told Barbara one time, she said, you know, I told the pastor's wife, if I die today, I don't think I'll go to heaven. And the wife, don't say that. So when I met up with her the next time, I said, let's talk about this. Let's make sure. I led her to the Lord that day. Another man, Teddy Reck, what a lovely man he was. Sat in his room, he was taking care of his wife who had Alzheimer. And then he said, Pastor, all these things you've been preaching about, I've never heard them before. I said, what are you talking about? And it's born again stuff. I don't know what you're talking about. So I sat down, walked it through with him, and then shared the gospel with him, and he received Jesus Christ at the age of 78. And he became a totally different man. 6 months later, I buried him. I can just go on and on. There's a whole bunch of them. In that first year of my ministry in that church, along with starting a church made up of mostly second-gen Asians, I buried 7 old folks. One lady, she had no family, no friends, nothing. Ethel is the name. I remember meeting up with her, letter to the Lord. She was really quite nasty a person, really. Not nice at all. That's why she didn't have any friends. And a letter to the Lord. And I got a phone call maybe, I don't know, 3 months later. Somebody called, one of the ladies called me, Pastor, we haven't heard from Ethel for a while. I said, what? We haven't heard from her. Can you check on her? Oh, boy. I knew that's not a good one. Went to her apartment, knocked on the door, no one's answering. Called the landlord and had him come and to open the door for me. And it was a hot summer day and there was a smell going on there. He said, I'm not going in, Pastor. You go on yourself. I said, okay. I'm only 24 years old. I've never seen anything like this before. Opened the door. Boom. I was almost knocked out. Went in there, and sure enough, there's Ethel. And it was, the stench was horrible. And we didn't have cell phones, so I had to go find the phone, and it happened to be right over her bed where she was. There's a phone there. So I'm like, okay. I started dialing 911, and suddenly her toe moved. I jumped 10 feet in the air, flying over there. And I discovered that Ethel actually did not die. She had a massive stroke that paralyzed her, and she was laying there for 3 days in her filth and all. So I called in, and no one visited her in the hospital but me. She couldn't move, she couldn't talk, but so I saw her eyes. Let me tell you, those eyes. Yeah. And then she died. 10 days later, she died. I was there for the funeral. Me and one other distant relative. But she went to be with the Lord. I want to tell you something. All those folks, they were going to church every single Sunday. Couldn't rescue all of them. There was George, you know, who would go to Mass every single day. His wife came to our church, shared the gospel to him, and he wouldn't believe. And one day, taking out his garbage, truck came around, hit a fire hydrant, drove the fire hydrant into his chest and killed him on the spot. Did his funeral too. You know, just because somebody goes to church, just because somebody is religious, doesn't make it so. This passage was so amazing. The Lord spoke about things that we don't want to hear about. We just don't. And so on the end of this year, I entitled this message, A Time to Evaluate. A Time to Evaluate. Can I ask you guys to do that with me? To evaluate your life? The last thing that I want is if you have been coming to CBC all your life, but you're like one of these old folks that I told you about. You don't know. Not at all. You know, I don't plan on a long message, but I want you to understand something here. There's an illustration there. It's about a house. The Lord told the people there were two houses being built. They probably look exactly the same. They're in the same area because when a storm came, both the houses were there. And if you went in the house, you know, you might not notice any difference at all. All the things, the good things, the bad things, the needy thing, whatever it was just there. But there was something very different about the two houses. It was about the foundation, and we'll talk about it in a moment. And whoever the builders were, whoever the people living in that house, they had to evaluate their house before the storms came. So today I want to ask you to evaluate with me about your life, not about your portfolio, not about, you know, your accomplishments, not about any of that stuff, but about your life when it relates to the most important thing of all, that is your spiritual eternity. Do that with me. First thing we want to look at from this passage, I want to state that to you, that what you heard doesn't matter. You say, wait a minute. It matters, doesn't it? The gospel, you got to hear the gospel, the good news. Oh, that's all. Yeah, I know. But what you heard doesn't matter if that's all that happened in your life. One of the things that is very common today is people love to be around someone that's, you know, pretty, rich, powerful. You know, you feel better about yourself. You know, you walk down the street with a beautiful woman, and you're like, oh, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I could be ugly as can be, but, you know, she's beautiful. That's it. Look, I'm with her, right? Or you drive around a car. You know, I know. I'm going through midlife crisis, too. We want to drive certain cars. I'm thinking about Camaro, Mustang. You know, you just feel better about yourself. You know, I can't run anymore. I'm slow, but I got a Camaro. But it's not just that, though. Sometimes we feel better about our spiritual lives if we go to a certain church. I still remember in New York, you know, all our churches, those are our churches that are not very big. Our church was good size, but, you know, it wasn't huge. We're pretty annoyed with some of those mega churches, I got to tell you. When Redeemer and Tim Keller came to New York City, I mean, got to tell you, the Chinese churches really didn't like that at all. We keep losing people, you know. Not the church's fault, not Redeemer's fault, not Tim Keller's fault, you know, but it's just what it is. I remember this one particular girl. We went to another church, not ours. It was a little church, a friend of mine, about 60 people, you know. And it was one of those little churches, never got went anywhere. And suddenly she went to Redeemer. Next thing you know, she came across like she's an expert in everything. Of course, look at my church. Churches are declining today, but not the mega churches. People love to go to Lakewood, love to go to Second Baptist, love to go to all these big churches. And, you know, there's a lot of good reasons they are. No knock on any of the churches at all. But I want to tell you, sometimes The people go there thinking, you know, what I hear, the people I'm with, that makes me more spiritual. It makes me better. Oh, no, you don't. What you heard doesn't matter. You just happen to be in someone's nice house. Is that where God wants you? Is that what's happening in your life? You know, sometimes that's what it is. We're around them. We're confident in our spiritual life. And you know what God says here? What the Lord said here? And, you know, in that time, and we've been going through Revelation, one moment is going to be, Lord, Lord. Oh, really? You call me Lord? I don't even know you. Who are you? You went to the biggest church in America? Oh, but I don't know who you are. I don't have a relationship with you. Just because you heard from all these great big preachers and all these programs that you've been involved in. I think we have to evaluate that. We're in CBC. Maybe the Lord brings you to another church. Does that mean that we're better spiritually or worse spiritually? Does that have any relationship? Well, the scripture here is very clear. Just because you hear it doesn't mean it matters. The second thing we find here is what you say. It doesn't matter either. Blah, 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 you know? And sometimes we, as Christians, we have this phrase, we call it Christianese. God bless you. You know, praise the Lord. You know all these phrases we have? Just because you say those things don't make it that you're spiritual or even that you have a spiritual relationship with God. Look at all those Pharisees. They had all these spiritual things. Now, I don't understand some churches, and I don't knock them at all. But if they want to have very liturgical things, I realize that, in fact, a lot of young people today are turning back to that, the traditional liturgical thing, that's fine. But if you're reading things off a page, and I preach in Episcopalian churches, Catholic church, Reformed churches, where they just kind of repeat things. You say something, they know what to say. Just because you say it don't mean that there's steps in it. Then it goes to the other end. We were at a conference, Barbara and I won't mention which one. They really believe in the words. You know, what you say, it's going to matter spiritually, as if it's a miracle, as if it is a formula, a kind of almost sorcery thing, you know? And so we're sitting there, and they say, you know, God, the speaker, said, God is moved by the sound of rain. I said, what? He's moving outside right now, I guess. It was monsoon this morning. I didn't really know what he means. I know somewhere in the scriptures there, in the Old Testament, there was something. So he says, tell you what, we want God to move in our midst. There was thousands of people in this conference. He said, this is what it sounds like. Does that sound like rain to you? So he said, yeah, it sounds like rain. Let's all do that. So 3,000 people are going this with the sound. I guess that moves God to do something. So Barbara and I looked at Barbara and said, I think it's time for us to click our way out. So we left the conference. Sometimes we think that. Scripture doesn't say that. Third thing here is, what you know doesn't matter. Oh, this is going to touch something here. Because we're Asians, most of us here. A lot of us here, and we're East Asians. East Asians believe in education, believe in knowledge. You know, knowledge is going to get you everywhere. Build your life here. You know, you come from America. Your parents, you know, are immigrants like mine. My father, third grade education. Mother, illiterate totally. They worked and worked. But you know what? All seven of us, we had one thing we must do. We better learn. We better get our degrees. We better become very highly educated because that's what we believe in. So sometimes in churches like that too, that's not to say you shouldn't know the Word of God. You should know the Word of God, meditate upon it. But what you know doesn't matter if it doesn't go anywhere. Whether it's theology, whether it's any knowledge you have, there's sometimes Christians all over that just think that because they know so much, they actually have a depth of life, and they don't. Because knowledge doesn't sink in. It doesn't filter into the heart. It doesn't go from the head to the heart. It doesn't translate into action. It doesn't translate to how you live your life. You value yourself. If someone was to look at you and try to prove that you're a Christian, what could he do before a judge? So he knows a lot about the Bible. He says all the right things, you know. Do you know how many times he's been in church last year? Is that what they'll be saying about you? Or would it be something else? See, what you do is what matters. Because what you do is about the foundation of your Christian faith. See, but doesn't Christianity say you can't work for it? No, you can't work for it. You can't do anything for it. You can't buy the Christian faith. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't do it. You can't do enough. It is by grace. But nevertheless, that grace comes into your life. It's got to become real. And the reality of it is, it transfers your life into a real living life of activities and actions in which the foundation of your faith is built. So the house could be beautiful or not, but the foundation is solid, not like sand. You know, how do you know even? You know, a lot of times people are like, how do you know someone's a Christian? Oh, you can't judge him, you can't judge him. No, you can't. It is by God's grace that we're saved, so you can't judge in that way. But we can know because he tells us. What are we doing? You know, one of the things that happens with a lot of Christians, the nominal Christians, why are they not concerned about the foundation of their lives? They're all focused on the upper things, you know, but not in the depths of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Scripture here is clear. The storms will come. And if it doesn't come, and life here, it sure will anyway, eventually it will come in eternity. When the Lord begins to look at your life, and you go, you know, after, Lord, Lord, and he says, I never knew you. I remember a good friend of mine. Really, he was, I thought he was a solid Christian. Went to church all the time, was on the board, you know, led, even ministered to me in so many ways when I was young. And he isn't the only one, there's a number of them. You know, around 45, 50 or so, he just got tired of it. He said, nah, I'm not playing that game anymore. I'm not going back to church. That's it. You know, sometimes we play this game, making believe we're Christians. And then, you know, when there's no foundation in it, and the trials comes, and things happen to our lives, and it's not worth it. We just kind of give up. You know how many Christians are leaving every single day? 32,000 Christians are leaving, or named Christian, leaving the church every single day. A lot of them are like, you know, it's not worth the game to play anymore. They don't have that foundation. They don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. They haven't given their lives to the Lord. They just play church. I remember one person that I really enjoy reading and listening to when I was growing up was Ron Hutchcraft. Work with youth, you know. Gave me an illustration that I never forget, never forgotten. He says, you know, it's really simple, the relationship that you need to have with Jesus Christ. When you go to a car dealership and buy a car, what happens? He says, you know, you pay your money and all, you go back, he said, come back in a couple of days and your car will be ready. You go there, you paid your $20,000 for your car, whatever it is. You go there and the guy said, I'll get your car right away. He goes in the back of the showroom, comes out with a steering wheel and brake pad. Here's your car. You're not going to put up with that. Wait, I bought the whole car. Well, that's what you're getting now. Do you know people who profess to be Christians have done that with Jesus Christ? Lord, I want to receive you. Oh, come on, raise your hand. That's the best ticket, you know? Or even coming forward sometimes. Eternity change. And then you walk away. You go back. You're excited. People hug you and give you all kinds of stuff. And next thing you know, you continue to live your old life. Just live the way you live. And you know, the Bible says you've been saved. You know, you can't lose your salvation now. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Do you know how many people today, how many people that claim to be Christians, that go to churches today, that do all the things that we can imagine that the world is doing, that once upon a time could not even be even thought about doing. All the things. They lie, they cheat, they live with people they shouldn't, they have affairs, They have immoral ways. All those things are all fine, and on Sunday they go to church. You think that's good? You think that happens? Who do you think God is? That's why Jesus has so many of these passages, you know, this being one. It says the storm's going to come, and your beautiful house is going to crash, and it's not going to see because there's no foundation. I want to tell you, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're developing a foundational relationship with the living God. He's with you. It doesn't matter what you go through. That relationship will not go away. It's a real relationship. It's a relationship that's going to change and transform who you are, what you are. You won't live the same way anymore. You can't live the same way anymore. You won't want to live the same way anymore. There's no way possible you want to continue to live that life. You don't want to be mean and nasty to people. You don't want to cheat and steal. You don't want to be unfaithful to people. You won't do those things. Why? Because God has changed your life. Talk to real Christians, you'll know. You say, wait a minute, that's not happening in my life. Do I really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I don't want you to worry about it in that sense. Like, oh, did I do something wrong? I'm going to lose myself. No, don't do that. What we want to do, though, is to evaluate. Evaluate. Do you really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or have you have just been coming to church forever? Or are there things you need to change in your life? Because your relationship with the Lord is most precious. Would you do that with me before the end of the year? Would you pray? Gracious Lord, I want to thank you for this morning. As we approach 2016, Lord God, I want to thank you for salvation. I want to thank you that you saved us. But I do want to pray and ask that you will help each person in this room to be able to come before you and evaluate their lives and know without a shadow of doubt that they have that personal relationship with you. Would you do that, Lord? Would you have mercy on us here? Help us to do that. Thank you so much. In your name we pray.